Now, they're in John 16. Look at verse number 7. John 16, verse number 7. Now, when Christ came to this earth, he obviously spoke to his heavenly Father, and before he was taken, arrested, and crucified, he asked for his Father to send another Comforter, to send the Holy Spirit. And in verse number 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Does anyone know what that word expedient means? What word will you say?
Profitable.
Profitable. Jesus says, it's more profitable for you if I go away. You go, well, it doesn't seem right. It seems like we'd be more profitable if Jesus was still walking this earth and we could deal with him. But this is why it's more profitable. This is why it's more expedient. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, we had a look at this, we've been looking at this for the past few weeks, is that some people sometimes do have a very strange view on the triune nature of God. Some people view the Holy Spirit as some mystical power of God. But what we see when Jesus Christ speaks of the Holy Spirit, he says, "I will send him unto you." The Holy Spirit is a person. We serve one God in three persons. And then he continues in verse number 8. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." All right, so these are things that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, there are some preachers that will take verse number 8, and when it says he will reprove the world of sin, they start saying, well, this is this is the Holy Spirit's work in getting people saved. And it is. It is the Holy Spirit's work in getting people saved. But what they take from this, if the Holy Spirit is reproving the world of sin, then the Holy Spirit is asking men to stop sinning. The Holy Spirit is asking men to repent of their sins as a method of salvation. I've heard it in my own ears. I've heard it sitting down in a church pew and a preacher saying this, that the reproving the world of sin is repenting from sin, turning away from sin in order to be saved. And yet, you know, it's so strange because the next verse, Jesus Christ tells us what the Holy Spirit is doing in reference to reproving the world of sin. He says in verse number 9, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." So what the Holy Spirit is doing, yes, he's highlighting to us our sinful condition, but the sin that we need to turn from, or the thing that we need to change in order to be saved, is to believe on him, to believe on Jesus Christ. You see, the sin, the great sin that is sending the world to hell, is not believing on Jesus Christ. Our sinful condition makes us all deserving of death. It makes us all deserving of hell. In fact, I'm still deserving of hell, which is why we believe in God's grace. God was gracious. He looked down upon me. I deserve hell, but God was gracious. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been reproved by the Holy Ghost. You're a sinner, and you didn't believe. Well, I was 3 years old, I guess 4 years old. But the Holy Spirit, you know, you're not believing on Jesus. You're not trusting on Jesus Christ. All right, Holy Spirit, I see what you're saying. I'm going to put my belief on Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus, and it's through him that I know I am righteous before Almighty God. I receive your grace through faith and not of works, because salvation is not of works, right? And so, you know, it's so strange that you would take verse number 8 and say, in order for you to be saved, you have to turn from your sins, when Jesus literally in the next verse explains that the sin that they need to fix is believing not on him, meaning they have to believe in him. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit that he's doing throughout this world. When we go out and we preach the gospel to the lost, we're not just doing it as mere men. We're asking the Holy Spirit to utilize us. We're asking the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts and the minds of the listener, that they will trust Christ, that they would turn and put their faith on Jesus alone for their salvation. Well, verse number 10 continues. "Of righteousness." This is something else the Holy Spirit does. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more." Jesus Christ was a preacher of righteousness. But because he's leaving, he's going to leave someone that will teach us righteousness. And that is another job of the Holy Spirit. The moment you're saved, you have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And one of the Holy Ghost's responsibilities is to teach you righteousness. You know, one reason we have the fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit is trying to work righteousness into us and all the characteristics and qualities, the godliness in us, and make us more righteous. Verse number 11, it says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? Donald Trump. No, sorry. Satan. Satan is the prince of this world. And so Satan is constantly deceiving this world. Satan is constantly telling this world that what is sinful is good and that which is good is sinful. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help to be able to pass judgment, to make decisions in our lives. You know, we're constantly, from the moment you wake up, you're deciding, am I going to listen to my alarm and get out of bed, or am I going to hit the snooze button and sleep for another 10 minutes? We're constantly making decisions. You know, even tonight, you probably said, Moy, it's really cold out there. You know, should I go to the house of the Lord, or do I just say snug it up in my bed? You made a decision. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us to pass judgment, so we know what is right and what is wrong. And of course, God has given us his holy word to help us through that process. It says, verse number 12, Jesus Christ says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. This is why they can't bear them. Verse number 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus says, you're not ready to receive everything that I want to teach you. But when the Holy Spirit of truth comes and indwells every believer, then he's going to guide you into all truth. All right? The Holy Spirit's job is to guide us into all truth, meaning no lies, no misunderstanding when it comes to being taught by the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Spirit, is such an important part of our Christian life and our Christian walk. Now, brethren, I hope as a pastor and as the men that get up to preach here on a regular basis, that we're doing all we can to preach the truth. I hope we're doing all we can to not accidentally say the wrong things. But, you know, when we have the flesh of men, men can make mistakes, can't we? I'm sure over my almost 8 years, or 8 years coming to New Life, almost 8 years of ministry, I'm sure I've said some wrong things over the years, right? And so, you know, don't rely on a single man, don't rely on any man to be the teacher of all truth to you. You have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is always true. He will never lie to you. All right? And if I say something a little bit incorrect and you, with the power of the Holy Ghost, go to God's Word and you open God's Word and you say, well, Pastor Kevin was wrong, then Pastor Kevin was wrong. The Holy Spirit is right. God's Word is right. Okay? He's the one who teaches us all truth. And what I love about it, it says in verse number 13, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show things, show you things to come. He shall glorify of me, and he shall receive of mine. The Holy Spirit teaches the same things that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit is also there to help these early disciples to remember the things that Jesus taught. All right? Everything the Holy Spirit teaches will be found in the Word of God. All right? God's Word is all sufficient for us. For our faith, for our practice, for our way of living. The Word of God is available to us. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides and teaches us according to His Word. But there are many churches out there in Sydney today that the preacher is going to get behind the pulpit and say to you, I have a Word of God from the Holy Spirit this morning. I've received a new revelation from the Holy Spirit of God. And they'll say all kinds of nonsense to you. And I remember going to my best friend's church once, and it was all right at the beginning. Then my best friend says, hey, go up to the front and the pastor will pray for you. So I was like, all right, I'll go to the front. Brother, I wasn't used to the charismatic churches. Like, I know as soon as you hear it, like, you're like, oh, man. I don't know. I'm just trying to, I'm a young man, right? And so I go up there and the pastor begins to pray. And then it started in English, then it went into gibberish, and I was like, what is going on? And then it's like, I've got a prophecy from the Holy Ghost. Kevin, you're going to become a great leader, and you're going to have tens of thousands, no, hundreds of thousands of people following you every step of the way. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Why did the Holy Spirit tell you but not me? I'm like, they just make things up.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not denying that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. He does. We'll find that in the Bible the Holy Spirit speaks. But what He speaks is the same thing that Jesus speaks. What the Holy Spirit speaks is the same thing that is contained in the Bible. If you have something clear in the Bible, what's clear in the Bible? So many things. Let's say, God hates divorce, okay? God hates the putting away. And then you come up to me, Pastor, God's been speaking to me. The Holy Spirit says I need to leave my wife. I'm going to tell you, boy, I don't know what spirit you're listening to, but that is not the Holy Spirit of God. Because that is contrary to His word. Now look, if you want to go ahead and sin, don't blame God. God told me. Just say, I want to do it because I'm a weak man and I'm going to probably be judged by God. And God have mercy with me because I'm struggling right now, Lord. That's a much better way than blaming God. God told me to do something contrary to His word. No, it's not coming from the Holy Spirit of God. Well, there are many people like that. So many times you witness, especially on the Sunshine Coast, there's a lot of charismatic churches. And, you come in the Bible, people get excited as a Christian. And they've got these visions and they've got these things that you straight away when they speak, it's not in the Bible. I don't know how many charismatics I've knocked doors. And just about every time, they've either raised someone from the dead or they themselves died and got raised from the dead. I mean, there's just this constant raising from the dead that's happening in the Pentecostal charismatic churches. And it's like, oh, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. But we don't see these things playing out. Nowhere near, even as frequently as these people claim. These people add things to the Bible. And we need to understand that when the Holy Ghost has been given to us, brethren, I have the Holy Ghost living inside of me just as much as you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And He is the teacher of all truth. Now let's go to where Brother Tim read incorrectly. But John chapter 3. Sorry, Brother Tim. But John chapter 3, please. So we've seen what the role of the Holy Spirit is. And what's great about the Holy Spirit is that He's with each one of us. And it doesn't matter where we are, the Holy Spirit is with us. When Christ walked this earth, He was kind of stuck basically there in Judea, Samaria, or Galilee. But wherever we go, wherever believers are, we can be taught and be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, verse number 5, John chapter 3, verse number 5, we had spoken about in the statement of faith that the Holy Spirit is the agent in the new birth. John chapter 3, verse number 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So what must we do to enter into the kingdom of God? We must be born of the Spirit. So the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you heard the gospel, you said, "Boy, this is good news. I'm going to put all my trust on Jesus. I'm going to accept His payment for my sins." The Holy Spirit gave birth to you. Your spirit, okay? And this is the challenge of the dual nature of man. We have that which was born of water, your flesh, all right? And boy, the flesh, if you're like, man, I just want to live according to my flesh. Flesh, whatever you want, I'll do. You'll be selfish. Everyone's going to hate you. You're going to commit all kinds of sin and wickedness, and you're never going to be satisfied. Which is why, as Christians, we've been given the birth of the Holy Spirit, birth of the Spirit that gives us that spiritual man. And in order for us to live lives of righteousness that please God, we must walk according to the Spirit. When we walk according to the Spirit, we subdue that flesh. The Holy Spirit that has given us the Spirit is able to use these sinful, weak bodies for His purposes because it's been subdued, it's following the instruction that the Spirit that we have within us, that new man, guides that flesh to do the works and of righteousness that serves the Lord. Look at verse number 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. If you're saved today, you've experienced two births, the birth of your mother and the birth of the Holy Spirit. This is why sometimes in the New Testament you'll hear Paul speaking of begetting in bonds, for example. When he wins someone to Christ, in many ways we as soul winners have given spiritual birth, but the one that actually did the spiritual part of it, of course, is the Holy Spirit. We've been used as instruments of the Holy Spirit, as vessels, as His tool to make sure the gospel gets preached, that they would hear the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one that opens their understanding and helps them to receive Christ as a Savior, giving birth to that new man. Therefore, they can then walk in righteousness than just being, given into their selfish, fleshly desires. So here's the agent of the new birth. You know, this is so important for us to understand, because if you can come with me to 1 John, come with me to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. It's amazing how many questions I've received in ministry regarding this verse in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 John chapter 5. So what has been born of God? Our spirit, not our flesh. Our flesh was born of man. But in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 18, the Bible reads, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." The wicked one, the devil, cannot affect, cannot touch, cannot corrupt whosoever is born of God. The one that is born of God sinneth not. This creates so much confusion in the Christian realm. And this is why you've got preachers that say, in order for you to be saved, you have to turn from your sins. Because in order for you to be saved, you sin not. And if you commit sin, you're not born of God. But how many times then have they forgotten the very basic teaching that came from John 3? There's the flesh, there's the spirit. The Holy Spirit gave birth to the spirit. When it says, whosoever is born of God, what is born of God? The flesh? No, the Spirit is born of God. Meaning, the moment you commit sin, and look, it doesn't even have to be some horrible sins. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. You know, we sin every day when we disobey, when we do our selfish, serve ourselves, and, we forget the Lord's God's commands, and we don't do that which is right. We sin all the time, brethren. But when you sin, what's not been affected is that which was born of God, which is the spirit of man. The flesh sins. Okay, the flesh sins, and this affects our fellowship and our walk with God. And we also learn in 1 John, we can read this in your own time, chapter 1, in order for you to be restored in fellowship with God, in your walk with God, not salvation, not that you lose salvation and have to regain it, but when you lose your walk and your fellowship with God because of sin, you just go to the Lord God, you confess those sins, you come with that broken and contrite heart, you say, God, please forgive me, I've done wrong, I've sought my own ways, and God promises to forgive us, and we can be in walk in His light once again in fellowship with the Lord. But the first responsibility when it comes to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to salvation, is being born of the Spirit. That which is alive in you, that fellowships with God, that communes with the Spirit of God, was born of the Holy Spirit. Can you come with me to Acts chapter 8, please? Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's talk about when the Holy Spirit speaks. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 26, I had mentioned that whatever the Holy Spirit has to say will be consistent with the Word of God. All right? Please don't come up to me, and you don't. I'm talking about people that listen to sermons, finding you online, whatever. I've got a Word of God. I've got something to say, Pastor. Is this of God? What does the Bible say? can you find something in the Bible to confirm what you're saying to me? But Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Notice the next verse. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So did the Holy Spirit speak to Philip? Absolutely. Now, is what the Holy Spirit said to Philip consistent in the scriptures? Of course, because the Lord wants us to preach the gospel. The Lord wants us to win souls. We have that commandment. And this is a great commission that Jesus Christ left us, to go and win souls to the Lord. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will very much guide you to an individual person. Now, I know we have our process. We have our door-to-door soul winning, and we're going through our maps, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, every now and again, the Lord's going to tell you, go to that person over there. If it's probably happened to some of you. It's happened to me. You know, most recently, like, this is going back last year now, but I remember just when we were in Fiji. I was exhausted. We'd done a whole day of soul winning. I'm just tired. I'm just drinking a tea. And there was a lady sitting behind me, and she just looked somber and just looking out the window. And it's not like, I'm going to give her the gospel. There was just something burning within me that said, you need to give her the gospel, you know? And to me, it's the Holy Ghost. Sat with her, gave her the gospel. She's the experience that, for me, was the one that really stood out for me. Okay, she absorbed it. She was so amazed of the freeness of salvation. She was weeping tears, and she called upon the Lord just like that, you know? But we had won many souls in Fiji, but that one was the one that was very tender, very special to me, because I was done. I didn't want to do it anymore. And you know, it's like the Holy Ghost was telling you need to, and I was like, I don't really want to, Lord. I'm tired. Like, I've been talking all day, Lord. I've been running around all day, and I think I need a break now. But, you know, there was just something about that individual person. You know, the very first time that, I was dating Christina, but I was not married. And I had started attending my first independent fundamental Baptist church. And I knew the importance of soul winning. I didn't have tracts with me. But I was, you know, prompted by the pulpit, hey, carry tracts with you. Because every now and again, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into someone. You want to be able to pull that track out and give someone the gospel. And I was with Christina. We were in Burwood, Westfields. And we were walking around. I think I've given this story before. I'll give you a very short version. But Christina had to go to a shop, and I was waiting for her. And there was this other guy waiting just outside of the shops too. Probably like me. Probably just waiting for his wife or girlfriend to come out of the shop, something like that, right? Just waiting outside. And I was like, you have to give this guy the gospel. And I've never have before. I've never done. Like, this was, you know, just brand new to, you know, needing to. Well, actually, I got my wife saved before that. But anyway, no, as far besides that, you know, going to a complete stranger, I've never done that before. And I just said, no, I can't do it, Lord. I'm too timid. And we would walk around Burwood, Westfields, and then I think it's got three levels from memory. I've not been there for a long time. Anyway, I got to the next level and bumped into the guy again. And it's like, the Lord's telling me, give this guy the gospel. And it's like, no, I can't do it, Lord. Then we went to the next level, and Christina had to do some photocopies in the back then. It was different, okay? We had to go to the post office. We had to go to the post office, and you put your 20 cents in, and you get your photocopies, okay? And so we lined up to the photocopy machine. I can't remember why she needed it, some documentations. And standing right in front of us, in line for the photocopy machine, was the same man. And I'm like, I've got to give this guy the gospel. I just can't do it. And I told the Lord, I can't do it. He gets to the photocopy machine. He's putting his money in, whatever, doing his photocopies. And then I realized, oh, we didn't bring cash. I turn around to Christina, we forgot our cash. And in this time, I'm telling God, I can't speak to this guy. I can't open my mouth. I can't do it, Lord. I can't just instigate a conversation with a random stranger. Anyway, the guy overhears me say to Christina that we didn't bring cash. And he says to me, don't worry about it. I put in way too much. You'll be able to make at least 5 prints or whatever it is. And even then, I didn't give him the gospel. But, boy, I didn't see him anymore. But, oh man, it makes me sad thinking about it. But, man, I know the Holy Ghost was speaking to me the whole time. Give this guy the gospel. Yeah. So I don't ignore it anymore because it breaks my heart to even think about it. Now the Lord tells us, if you seek, you will find. If that man was seeking, if that man had some Macedonian call, I guess the Lord will send him another missionary, some other preacher, and that man will get saved if he's seeking the Lord anyway. But I get to miss out on that reward. I get to miss out on that blessing. But he taught me a lesson, and I'm getting teary just thinking about it. So sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to you and say, this is where you need to. I'm not saying it's some audible voice. It's just something in your heart, in your inner man, that says, this person is ready. Go and speak to them. Amen. And boy, you need to listen to the guiding of the Holy Ghost. That's why he's given it to us. You know, our Christian life is real. We really have the Holy Ghost living in us. We truly have God within us that's teaching us and guiding us and helping us live a life. We're not just going through some motions. Oh, just, it's church Sunday. It's just church Thursday. Soul winning this. Oh, it's a living experience that matters for eternity, where the Lord one day will smile, thou good and faithful servant, and give you great rewards for the work that you've done for him. But the Holy Spirit speaks. Can you come with me to Acts 13? Acts 13. Acts 13, verse number 1. Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So this was Paul and Barnabas going out, doing their missionary journeys, winning souls, preaching the gospel, starting churches, ordaining elders. One thing we learn with the Bible here is that the Holy Spirit speaks. When a church comes in agreement to ordain a man into ministry, that is by the speech of the Holy Ghost that says, this is the man that I'm setting apart, or these are the men that I'm setting apart to do a work for me, to go and start churches, to go and ordain elders. And so we need to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit of God when we do this kind of work. You know, before we started Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I had just started New Life. I was pretty much a new pastor. I'm still trying to feel the thing. I'm still trying to understand the ministry. Still trying to just get comfortable with what I'm doing. And the need popped up for this church. And I was very sad for certain families. Many of them aren't here anymore. But I was very sad for some certain families because they were without church and without fellowship. And I went to my whole church at New Life Baptist Church and said, guys, what do you think? This is the situation. I'm willing to travel down to Sydney, midweek services, run church services as a band-aid for now until we have something more permanent for these families. What do you think? I don't want to just make some random decision. I know I could. I know just as a pastor, I could just make a call. But what I see in the Bible is people coming together and the Holy Ghost speaking and confirming that, yes, you need to go and start a church, or you need to go and ordain an elder, whatever it is. And the feedback that I received from New Life at the time was, yeah, pastor, we're behind you. We want you to do this. We believe this is the right option. You know, and I told the guys, go away, pray about it, come back to me, because, you know, it's going to be a big decision to come every single week to make this a reality. In fact, it's crazy when I think about it. I think it's kind of insane, having, you know, traveling every week from Queensland. But the church will know, we believe this is the right thing to do. And brethren, this weekend we're coming up to 7 years. I mean, this is not, look, I know we're not some massive mega church. I know we haven't got the hundreds and thousands, but this church continues. And it's not because of the will of man or the effort of man. It's the work of God. And you know what? If you go, I'm going to go to start a church and I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me, and your church collapses after 6 months, it collapses after 3 months, it's not of the Holy Spirit of God. It's by the will of man. You need to listen to the speaking, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I think this church is testimony that the Holy Spirit spoke and was correct. Because there's no way this should work. There's no way that a pastor traveling from another state every single week should work. But it works. And we've done some great things for God. We've served Him faithfully. We've won many souls. This church has won many souls. Pretty much every week, souls are being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. could only be done by the working of the Holy Spirit. Come with me to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't always want to have a go at the charismatics all the time. They're just an easy target. But because they've got their experiences. And surely my experiences trump God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The Bible's telling us we have something that is very sure, something that is more sure than any experience, than any, "I heard this over here, God was speaking to me, I've experienced this." Boy, what do people say? I'm trying to remember things, you know? You know, some people say, "I've traveled interdimensionally. God's given me the power to, you know, like do these things." And there's crazy things. I can't even, because I don't like to retain these things in my memory. You know, just some crazy things, you know? But the more sure thing that we possibly have when it comes to the Lord God is this word of prophecy. Verse number 20, knowing this first, in case you don't know what that more sure word is, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. More sure than anything is what is contained in the Bible. More sure than the media is the Bible. More sure than your experience is the Bible. More sure than what I've probably even witnessed with my eyes, my physical eyes, is what is testified in the Bible. In fact, I know that. Amen. You know, there are times I'm preaching and I'm trying to recall a memory of my past. And because years go on, right? And your brain's busy and full. Sometimes you kind of misremember the memory. You experience it. You went through it. But then I give that message again, or I preach something about, and I might give that memory again, but then it's a little bit tweaked. It's not like I intentionally tweaked it. It's just my memory is not as good as it used to be. And so what I have is more sure word. So instead of preaching my memories and preaching my experiences, I better just preach God's word, because this is more sure than anything else we can have. But it's not of any private interpretation. You know, when that pastor prayed over me, "You're going to have hundreds, yay, thousands, tens of thousands." I didn't read that in the Bible. I didn't hear it from God. Nobody else has ever said to me, "Pastor, I heard from God, you're going to have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people following you." I don't want hundreds of people. Is that like my kids? Is that like meant to be 12 kids that kind of represented hundreds of thousands? I don't know. But I've never had anybody else say that except one guy. So what does that make that? A private interpretation. Yeah. That's a private interpretation, right? And, where am I reading from? 2 Peter. Look, no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. No, the scriptures are not the private interpretation of any one man, which is why we have 66 books, which is why we have 40 different authors from all different backgrounds. They all spoke of faith. They all spoke of God. And there is no inconsistencies, there are no contradictions in the Bible, because it's not any private interpretation. You all know that if we were to come up with our own religion and what we thought of God and what we thought about our way of salvation, and we put all of us, and there's less than 40 of us here tonight, and so we took us, all of us, and we all wrote what we think we need to do to go to heaven, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a book full of contradictions. Because we're bringing our private interpretation as the doctrine. But that is not the scripture. It continues there in verse number 21. "For the prophecy," that's the prophecy of the scriptures, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So the words of scripture, the prophecy of scripture, are the words of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, men were moved. It's not a private man coming up with his own idea, like what's the Mormon guy?
Joseph Smith.
Like a Joseph Smith. Like, here's the one that came with his Book of Mormon, private interpretation. All right? Or Muhammad. Perfect. Islam guy with his own interpretation, his own private interpretation. Look, if it's one man writing your holy book, I can tell you already it's corrupt. Because that's a private interpretation. 40 different authors, 66 different books, all of one voice. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's job is to give us the scriptures. So, when someone says to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it contradicts what the Holy Spirit spoke, actually, the more sure speaking, you know, they're full of garbage.
Yep.
But let's bring it to us. Let's bring it to our reality. Because sometimes people ask me, Pastor, I've got a decision to make. Which way do I go? You know, what do you think God wants me to do? You know, should I go with plan A? Should I go with plan B? Should I go with plan C? And I never like to make those decisions for anybody. Because if I say, you know what, plan C sounds good to me. You do plan C and it falls apart. You get mad at the pastor. Right? But many times people are looking for that one answer. Lord, which is the right one? Plan A, plan B, or plan C? Sometimes they're all the right answer. God gives us free will. God allows us to make decisions, right? And the Christian life is meant to be a life of liberty. Not, did I make that one right decision every single time? That's a stressful way to live. Like, you know, that constant, like, oh man, did I eat the right thing for breakfast today? Was that what the Lord wanted me to eat? But there are people that speak like that. There are people, like there are churches, the charismatics, that speak like this. Like even the most insignificant thing. The Holy Ghost told me, that's what I have to eat. Look, the Lord gives us liberty. And when someone says, Pastor, I need to make a decision. These are the options. What do I do? Straight away. I can't make the decision for you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't guide you into all truth. But you have the Bible. This is the book for our living. This is our book for our guidance. Have a look. Are these decisions compatible with God's word? There might be some decisions that are incompatible. There are some decisions that are sinful. There are some decisions that are wrong. Okay, the ones that are sinful and wrong, cross them out. I'm left with five options now. I can see they're all consistent with God's word. All right, now it's free will. Choose what you believe is best. Acknowledge God and he will guide your paths. You know, he will lead you in paths of righteousness. But make a call, make sure whatever decision you make, the big decisions of life, that you find them to be compatible with God's word, because this is more sure than any counsel or advice a man can give you. Can you come with me to 1 John, please? 1 John chapter 2. You know what? Come with me to 1 Corinthians instead. Come with me to 1 Corinthians, just so I can speed up a little bit here. Come with me to 1 Corinthians. And while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read to you from 1 John chapter 2, verse number 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but the anointing here is the Holy Spirit, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The anointing that was given to you, that abides with you, is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, you have no need that any man teach you. There is nothing that I can come and preach behind this pulpit that you should not be able to discover and find for yourself. There should be nothing. Okay? Now, I might open your eyes to something you've not come across. But if I open your eyes to some truth, then your job should be not to, oh, just take Pastor Kevin's word for it. No, your job is to search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. Yep. All right? The Holy Spirit gives you that ability. One of the things that saddens me, I'm going to be a little bit transparent and like a little bit honest, okay? There's a lot of good Bible preaching on the internet. There's a lot of good pastors and good churches that put their sermons online. And I'm not against it because I do the same thing. Our sermons are online. We don't want to hide anything that we believe. We don't want to hide the truth of God's word. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I, in my journey of ministry, I've discovered so many individuals that say all the right things, that do the right things, you know, that come across with a godly testimony in many ways, come across as someone that is very learned and seems to really have dug deep into God's word and dug deep with the Holy Spirit of God that teaches all things. And I can't tell from the outside about this individual person, but so many of those people, brethren, end up falling away. And this is why. They've spent all their life, all their time, just dumping sermons, just downloading sermons, sermons after sermon, after sermon, after sermon, after sermon, after sermon, after sermon. And they know the right things. They know the right phrases to speak. They know the right verses to turn to. They know the right positions on certain doctrines. And it seems like that they're doing very well in their Christian walk. But then it just requires one small issue, one tribulation, one persecution, one challenge of the flesh, and they just fall away like this. It's like, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Those people aren't grounded in the more sure word of prophecy. They're grounded on the YouTube video. They're grounded by the preacher. They've spent so much time listening to audio and the words of men that they've not gone to the Holy Spirit of God, which can teach you everything those men teach you. Okay? You don't need any man to teach you. Now, you should come to church. That's a commandment of God. You should, nothing wrong with preachers. That's something God has ordained. We need ordained men that teach God's word. But what I'm telling you is, if you're just relying on men, or if you're just relying on online sermons, you are not going to be very well grounded. And when the difficulties come, you're going to fall. I've seen it. It hurts me because there are so many brethren that I love that have just fallen away so dramatically. And I find out later it's because they just weren't grounded in God's word. They never went to the Holy Spirit. Look, there is something precious, more precious than listening to 100 sermons online, of just going to God's word. All right, God, it's you and me. I'm going to read Proverbs 15. And Lord, you know my life. I'm going to pay attention to this chapter right now. And Lord, I'm going to read this. I have the Holy Spirit of God. Please teach me. You tell me I don't need to be taught by any man. And I'm going to read this, Lord. What is applicable for my life? What can I learn? What great wisdom can you give me, Lord? Because I'm going through some difficulties. I need some guidance. And you read through the chapter. And something sticks out to you. And you read it. And you meditate it. And you go, oh, wow. The Bible says what? It says that? Oh, that's the answer to my prayer. That's what I was looking for. That's the wisdom I was seeking. And it's like you've gone yourself and you've dug and you've found some precious gold. You've found some precious jewels of God's word. And it was delivered to you directly from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. There is something so beautiful about that. Yep. And so comforting to know that God is teaching me. Or you take the shortcut and listen to 1,000 sermons. Look, I'm not against listening to the sermons. Please don't misunderstand me. But if that's causing you to not spend time with the Holy Spirit of God, who's your teacher, the teacher of all truth, because men can make mistakes, the teacher of all truth, then you're missing something so precious and valuable in your walk and fellowship with God. Amen. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Where did I get to turn to? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Brethren, who searches the deep things of God? The Holy Spirit. So he's better than any AI. Better than any ChatGPT or Grok, all right? I mean, that just searches the deep search of the internet, but you want the deep things of God? You go to the Holy Spirit, okay? He's the only access to the deep things of God. Look at verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The idea there is that, you know, because we are fellow men, we can relate to one another. Like, you might be going through some difficulty, and I'll be like, yeah, man, I can see where you're coming from. I feel for you, bro, praying for you. I've been there before myself. And, you know, we can kind of relate to the things of men because we're men. Well, if we want to better understand the things of God, we can't because we're not God. But the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? The Holy Spirit is God. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals these things to us. Verse number 12. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is so important. Like, it's obvious. Okay, we've been given the spirit of God. Okay. We've not been given the spirit of the world. What's the spirit of the world again? It's a devil. Okay? It's some devil. It's Satan. It's a teaching of Satan. That's not the spirit that we've been given. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God. Because that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I'm going to make a point here. I've come across believers over time. Sometimes believers that are obsessed with the end times. I love the end times, please. But when you're just obsessed about the end times, you're going to be very unbalanced in life. I've come across believers that spend time looking at the occult, looking at pagan practices, looking at what the Church of Satan teaches, looking at Islam because they're waiting for their Mahdi, okay, which would probably be the Antichrist or whatever. And it's like, well, if I just see what the devil's doing, because there's, I don't know why, people think the devil knows a lot about God. But the one that searches the deep things of God is what? The Holy Spirit. We've been given the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of this world. So we might know these things, that we can have this wisdom. Meaning the devil doesn't have this wisdom. But people think, if I just obsess about the occult and the dark practices and the ways of the devil, and I can start to see how the devil is changing governments of this world and rising up certain leaders and creating certain wars, then I'm going to have a better understanding of what's going to come in the end times. Completely wrong. And this is why God even told the Israelites of old to not learn the way of the heathen, not to learn about these false gods. There's no profit. There's no profit in learning other religions. And maybe I'll get a better insight, you know, from, you know, I'll go to ask a Jewish rabbi because I'm really struggling with some passage in Isaiah. And the Jewish rabbi who rejects Jesus is not saved. He doesn't have the Spirit of God. How is he going to teach you something that you've got the Holy Spirit of God? You should be teaching the Jewish rabbi the things of God because you have that Spirit. You have the teacher that lives within you. So look, if you're someone like, oh man, I want to listen to the YouTube videos about this pagan, because they're talking about the end times coming around and maybe the devil knows what's going on. The devil doesn't know what's going on. He's obviously making his plans, but when the time comes to come into the end time, that's going to be God's decision. It's God's timing. Remember when Jesus was asked about his kingdom? And he says, well, those times are in God's hands, you know? And so, look, it's the Holy Ghost that knows the deep things of God. It's the Holy Ghost that will give you the wisdom and the understanding, not the devil, not false religion. Let's keep going. Verse number 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Jewish rabbi is the natural man that receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Those that worship false gods, that are in false religion, they do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But also the natural man is this flesh that we looked at earlier. We all have the natural man. You know, when I get behind this pulpit, and if I've said things wrong over the years, that which was wrong did not come from the Spirit of God. That which was wrong came from the natural man. You know, and I've likened this before. When you're reading the Bible and you're going through your, man, I've got to go for my Bible reading plan. And it's good to have a Bible reading plan, don't get me wrong. But you're just going for your chapter, and I've done it myself, brethren. I'm not attacking anyone. I've done it myself. You read for your chapter. Okay, God, I'm right with you. I read for my chapter. And then you're like, what did I just read? I just did not absorb anything. Has that happened to you? It's happened to me many, many times. I didn't even know what I just read. What did I just read? I know I read it. I know I had my eyes on it. I know I was trying to pay attention, but I just don't remember anything. You know why? Because you were in a natural man when you read those things. And you need the Spirit of God. You need to walk in the Spirit to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. I'll read verse number 14 again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, Because they, that's the scriptures, are spiritually discerned. The way you understand the scriptures is by discerning them spiritually. You need the spiritual man, you need the new man to learn the things of God, and the one that teaches that new man is the Holy Spirit of God. Can you come with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:29. You know, when you got saved, not only were you born of the Spirit, not only did you have a spiritual man within you, the inner man, the new man, but we spoke about having the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this makes me the most uncomfortable as a Christian, to know that everywhere this body goes, so does the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells this body and indwells your body. And it says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Brethren, when you use profanity, is that good to edify? Does that edify anyone? People use profanity to tear each other apart, usually, right? Does it minister grace? If I start dropping the F-bomb here at church tonight, am I ministering grace to you guys? No, okay? Corrupt communication, okay, should not proceed out of our mouths. You know, dirty jokes. And look, I mean, I've been there. I've been in the workplace and someone's telling some dirty joke and you might even find it funny. But you're like, man, I'm a believer. I can't laugh at this. Because this body belongs to God. And look, here's the thing about it. Verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy... You know, the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit can be grieved by your behavior, by the things that you do and the things that you say. That makes me really uncomfortable. Because I know this... I'm not always doing the right things. I'm not always perfect in my walk. And none of us are. And to know that the Holy Spirit has been grieved, I've hurt my Lord. I've grieved my Lord because of my behavior. He wants me to walk in His righteousness. He wants me to make the right calls. He's given me a teacher. He's given me the inner man. He's given me power over sin. He's given me the wisdom of God's word. But when I go out and I commit some grievous sin against Him, oh man, I've grieved my Lord. I've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has emotions. He's not just some power. He's a person. You have a person of God living within you, the Holy Spirit of God living within you. You know, please don't grieve Him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. This is a commandment. God commands us to not grieve Him. Does that make you uncomfortable? It makes me so uncomfortable because I'm thinking, Lord, why did you choose this temple of a body? It's so corrupt. Can you like rapture me now? Can you give me the right body now? The body without corruption, the body that is immortal, the body that cannot sin, because I don't want to keep grieving the Holy Spirit of God. This is why we yearn for the coming of the Lord. This is why we're so excited one day to get rid of these bodies. And this is why we want to teach the Bible. You know, we come to church not just to hear the gospel. We come to church so we can learn how to walk in righteousness, so we can walk in holiness, that we can please the Lord, that we can put a smile on His face. I'd rather please the Lord than grieve the Lord. But I want to point out to you that the Holy Spirit has emotions. Can you come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not? So the Corinthian church did not know this. What? Don't you know? No. What? Don't you? Like, no, don't you know? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? This body, brethren, does not belong to you anymore. Amen. You got saved, praise God, delivered from hellfire, the promise of heaven and everlasting life. Well, now your body doesn't belong to you. Verse number 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Isn't that amazing? We've been born of the Spirit. We have a new man. Yeah, we can. That belongs to you, God. Yes, 100%. No, not just your spirit, your body too. Because it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. When I think about the temple or the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and when they set up that piece of property, the Holy Spirit, His presence and His power would descend upon that place like a thick cloud. You know, God's presence was known in that place. When people looked at the temple, this is the place that God resides. What about your temple? Is that what people say about the temple of God, walking around in Fairfield, walking around in Sydney? Boy, that brother, that sister, or that person that goes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I can see that their body is the temple of God. I can see Christ in them. I can see the power of the Holy Ghost in them. They love the brethren. They love the Lord. They're serving Him faith. I hope that's a testimony of your temple. But this makes me so uncomfortable, brethren, because I know, man, this is not a very good temple, Lord, that you've given, or that I've produced. I can't blame God for it. Like, He's given me this body, but He's given me this body to serve Him. But when we serve sin, when we serve our own desires, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We destroy the testimony of the temple. You know, the temple in the Old Testament was the house of the Lord. Right now, in the New Testament, our local church is the house of the Lord. Could you imagine, instead of like the hymns that we sang earlier, we sang instead some, who's famous these days? I don't know. I was going to say Britney Spears, but like, plus I don't even know who that is anymore. I don't know. who's like Lady Gaga or something? Like, who? I don't know. What's some like satanic heavy rock band? Thanks, Tim. You would know.
AC/DC.
Are they satanic? I don't know. Okay. AC, like, we just started singing AC/DC songs, right? And instead of Bible verses here that's on the walls, you know, we had Lord of the Rings. You know, poems from Lord of the Rings here in this building when we come together. And when we get up to preach, I pull out to you, instead of a King James Bible, I pull out to you a NIV or something like this, right? Something that has missing verses. Something that takes out the blood of Christ. Something that refers to Jesus as the morning star that was kicked out of heaven or something. Something so wicked. You say, Pastor, you're corrupting the house of the Lord. You're hurting the Lord. Pastor, why? What are we doing? We came to church to serve the Lord. That's true. I deserve that rebuke. But what about your bodies? Your bodies are the temple of the Lord. Are you listening to the AC/DC? You know, are you? Whatever it is. Like, you know, what are you defiling this body with? It's a temple of the Lord. I don't know. Look, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. That's a great blessing. But it's a great fear to know that I can grieve Him when I corrupt this temple that God resides in. Last passage, Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. And while you're turning to Acts chapter 1, I'll just read to you once again what is found in our statement of faith here under God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is divine and the third person of the Trinity, that He convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He is the agent in the new birth who seals, endues with power, and guides into all truth. He endures with power. Let's talk about that. Let's end on that with the conclusion. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. These are Jesus' final words before He's taken up into a cloud to sit at the right hand of the Father. I mean, if these are Jesus' last words, they're going to be pretty important, wouldn't you say? Yeah. In Acts 1, verse number 8, Jesus says, "But ye shall receive power." Oh, wow, that sounds amazing. You shall receive power. What is that power? "After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Jesus says, look, I'm leaving you power. You're going to receive power. What is that power? The Holy Ghost. The power to do what? To be witnesses of Jesus. To preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, unto the uttermost part of the earth. When Jesus said these words, Australia was in the uttermost part of the earth. No one knew what Australia was. And I don't know how many, maybe the Aboriginals were here. But, you know, when the disciples certainly did not know what Australia was at that time. We've got a Fiji mission trip coming up at the end of next month. Please be praying for that. Fiji would have been considered the uttermost part of the earth. You know, the people that are going out there to preach the gospel, they need to have that power. That power is found in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost that has come upon you. You know, God gives you the power to witness of Jesus. I don't know if everybody goes soul winning. I certainly don't hate you if you don't. I certainly don't, you know, this church is for all believers. You know, I don't want anyone to think there's like a higher class of believers that are just the soul winners and a lesser class that Pastor Kevin doesn't care about, that are not the soul winners. I don't think of things like that whatsoever. You know, the Bible tells us to esteem each other better than ourselves. You know, when I come to church, you're all better than me. That's how I ought to think of you, you know? And so I'm not that way whatsoever. But I've been there. I've been there too, where I was too timid. I gave you my story. The Holy Spirit was telling me, go and preach the gospel to this guy. I was too afraid. I was too timid. I was too underpowered. One thing that blows my mind is the ability to go to some complete stranger, knock on some stranger's door here in Fairfield, and hey, we're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd be going to heaven, or do you have some doubts? And you start saying these words, and you start pulling your plan of the gospel together to that person, and you lead that person, you guide that person with the help of the Holy Ghost, with the power of the Holy Ghost. That person understands. That person chooses to believe on Jesus. You help him to call upon the name of the Lord. That person confesses Christ, believes on him, and is saved. Brethren, that's powerful. That's power. That's greater power than sending bombers from one country to another country to bomb their nuclear facilities. The greatest power is to be able to help someone that was destined to hell to have the eternal destiny change. Now they're going to heaven. Now they're a child of God. Now they're saved. Now their sins are forgiven. Who gives such power? The Holy Ghost gives you that power to be used by Him. I never in my wildest dreams would ever think I could knock a stranger's door and give him the gospel. And many of us have done that. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd get behind the pulpit and preach a word of God to God's people. Never would have thought possible. That power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. All right, brethren, the title for the sermon tonight was God, the Holy Spirit. I hope you learned something new, maybe potentially, about the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray.